Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to three social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. What you will not find there yet, because this is brand new, is something that I just launched that I will tell you about as this episode unfolds. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. We're in that time of year when all four major sports are going on at once, effective tomorrow night when the NBA regular season begins. In this order, I can pull from each of the NFL, MLB, the NHL, and the NBA to illustrate this week's teaching moment. Consider. I'm going to sack the quarterback and knock him out of the game in the process. I'm going to bean this next batter with a fastball. On my next shift, as soon as I hop over the boards onto the ice, I'm going to fight the other team's tough guy. Or, I'm going to set the tone for this game early. When their star player tries to drive down the lane, I'm going to foul him hard. There is a spiritual lesson for all this in the New Testament, specifically Romans chapter 8, verse 6, which in the New American Bible says, "The concern of the flesh is death, but the concern of the spirit is life and peace." If we look at the New Living Translation, that version presents it as, "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." It's here where I call attention to the fact that sports are supposed to be fun and entertaining, and that, as we often pray on this show in our Sportsman's Prayer, when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest spent 23 years working for the Harlem Globetrotters, leading the team's communications department. During that time, he arranged two visits to the Vatican and accompanied the Globetrotters players to meet Pope John Paul II and Pope Francis. Previously, he had served as VP of Communications for the Continental Basketball Association, working as the league's main spokesperson and liaison to the NBA and USA Basketball. His international experience also included work on the U.S. Olympic Committee press information team at the 1996 Summer Olympic Games and serving as assistant venue press manager for the 2013 World Baseball Classic. As a student athlete, he played football, baseball, and ran track and field in high school, still holding the school record for 400-meter hurdles and being inducted into their Hall of Fame in 2018. This past March, he was named the Director of Communications for the Roman Catholic Diocese of Phoenix. He is also a professional sports photographer, and prior to his new role, shot Georgia Tech football and men's and women's basketball. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Brett Meister.
Thanks, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yes, thank you, Brett. Looking forward to it. And I have to admit, you've got me beat. Back when I used to work in the Olympic movement, that job took me to 17 countries around the world, some of them more than once, and yet my number is dwarfed by all that you've done internationally. Not to mention, you now work in Phoenix. The job with the Continental Basketball Association was in St. Louis. And in the intro, I mentioned you as a photographer shooting games in Georgia. So where the heck were you born and raised? And what was the family size? And what was young Brett doing faith-wise?
So I was born and raised in Iowa, cradle Catholic. You mentioned the places that I've lived. I've now lived in all four time zones in the United States. Grew up in a small town in northwest Iowa, Marcus, Iowa, to kind of give a more direct kind of where it's at. It's about two and a half hours northeast of Omaha, Nebraska. And I went to college in Sioux City, Iowa, which was an hour south of Marcus, and that's the tri-state area. It's where South Dakota, Iowa, and Nebraska all come together. So.
Okay.
Grew up in a small town, 1,500 people, and probably our claim to fame in our small town is Major League Baseball umpire Bruce Streckman, who's also Catholic. We went to high school together from Marcus. Bruce just worked the series between the Mets and the Padres, and it went down to all three games, a dramatic series.
Okay, and how many children were in your household, and what were you doing? Because I know you had some involvement with the church.
Yeah, I was. I'm the oldest of three boys. I've got a middle brother that's a high school teacher and coach back in Iowa, and a younger brother, 7 years younger than me, that works in television in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we grew up in a very Catholic household. We all served Mass. We were all lectors.
Wow.
We live very close to the Catholic Church, so being altar servers, we were frequently called if someone didn't show up. We were about two blocks away, so very involved in the Catholic Church growing up.
Nice.
And then the Catholic, the small Catholic college that I went to, Briarcliff University in Sioux City, Iowa, just continued my faith journey through academics at a Catholic school.
Now, let me check back again with what I said in the intro about sports. Let's see, football, baseball, and track and field. How and when did you get started into sports? And were you ever, I don't know, maybe with track and field, so serious that you thought it was something you wanted to try to make a career in, meaning as a competitor?
Well, I can remember playing, T-ball. It goes way back. I was probably 5 or 6 years old. Loved sports, was heavily involved in it all the way through high school. Excelled in probably my best were football and track and field. And I had some small college opportunities, but I knew that I wasn't that big. I mean, weight-wise, for football I would have been a punching bag because I probably weighed about 165 pounds and played safety. And then track and field was kind of a late bloomer in the hurdles. But I decided enough was enough with the actual competing. And then when I went to college, I shifted completely into communications with an emphasis in sports.
Okay. Well, you started your career as a television reporter and news editor at the NBC affiliate in Sioux City, Iowa. So we've heard about all the sports you were doing as a youngster. And in the intro, I mentioned lots and lots of sports jobs, but this stands out as a point in one's life, and folks, we've heard so many times in the show, where someone is so focused on starting their career, and Brett, in your case, at the TV station, that the Lord, that their faith gets left behind. I'm curious as to if that was the case with you or not, because that period of time just really jumps out at me as a, what was the Lord doing then, time, being that sports was sandwiched around it, if all that makes sense?
I never had a moment in my life where I strayed away from the church. It was always part of, going to Sunday Mass, following the sacraments. Never had a moment where I strayed away. It's always been, the center of my life. More intense as I matured and got older and learned more about my faith. and got into perpetual adoration at my parish, and kind of became deeper into my faith. But yeah, that TV opportunity was, it was fast paced, a lot of adrenaline. You know, right out of college, you you think you're going to be the next Vin Scully, but I I enjoyed that time working for that small NBC affiliate. I learned a lot, made a lot of great friends, and it was TV shooting sports is very, high energy, a lot of adrenaline, like I said, because they would send you out to, shoot the local college or high school sports and then rush back to the station to get it on the 10 o'clock news and quickly turn around the edit and tell your story. But,
wow.
as far as straying away, I like I said, I didn't stray away. But I'd say that as the years went by and I matured, I became even closer to my faith
and
more involved.
And folks, that's obviously wonderful to hear that Brett did not stray. And for anyone that's new or new-ish to this show and wondering why would Bruce ask him a question like that is because a lot of times we hear guests on this show that will say, I look back at my life and now I see that even though that had nothing to do with all the sports in Brett's case that he was playing before it and then working in after it, people will say, I look back and now I see that the Lord's hand was in there as much as I couldn't have seen it at the time and wondered, what does this have to do with anything? So that's the reason for that question looking back. But let's fast forward to the Harlem Globetrotters years. They have always been, and didn't I say this near the end of my ministry moment segment, they have always been so entertaining. And what's really cool is they considered their role as global ambassadors of goodwill. So folks, not a pro basketball team, not we are a sports and entertainment conglomerate, but rather global ambassadors of goodwill. And so Brett, you got an up close and personal look at things like visits to poverty stricken regions within Honduras, Uzbekistan, Mozambique, Lithuania, Estonia.
Yeah. So, that's probably my entire career. The thing that, keeps me going every day when I was with the Globetrotters is had nothing to do with the game on the court. It was everything off of the court, how the Globetrotters could impact lives, be a role model, be a symbol for hope or opportunity, because that quite honestly was what kept me going, is their role as ambassadors of goodwill. And to be a Globetrotter, you have to embrace that. That's the big part of the job is, you have to be a great basketball player, but you have to embrace the role as an ambassador, because the Globetrotters are about wholesome family entertainment. So part of my work with the Globetrotters, I worked with a couple of different charity initiatives. One was called World Vision International, and they're a Christian-based humanitarian group that helps underprivileged regions of the world, and it's simple things that we take for granted in our lives every day: water, hygiene, shelter, and they would go into these underdeveloped countries and provide them with resources and education. And so the Globetrotters would go with World Vision. I went on two trips with them. I went to Honduras and I went to Mozambique, Africa. And we would go into these very remote villages where the conditions were not great, and try to inspire them and provide them with a hope and do whatever we could to help their situation. And also, just because the Globetrotters are world renowned and they draw attention, it allowed us to help shine a light on these areas that needed aid and needed help. And then the other countries you mentioned, I resurrected a relationship that used to be with the Globetrotters and the U.S. State Department back in the 50s, but I resurrected that with the Globetrotters probably 10 years ago, and they have a sports ambassador program. They call it their Sports Envoy program, where they go into underdeveloped regions, and that's where we went into Lithuania and Estonia and Uzbekistan. Same thing. We would go into areas and provide them with hope, encouragement, and that sort of thing. And then also, the Globetrotters have female players, and so I would always make a point to take a female player as part of our entourage, especially in Uzbekistan, where there's such a suppression on women there. And for young girls and women to see this female Globetrotter player, it really empowered them.
I'm sure.
And showed them that they could do, just as well as men could. And so that was very powerful as well.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And folks, this is going to be the episode that I point people to when they say sports and faith, how does that mix? I'm going to say, go listen to episode 194 with Brett Meister. Listen to him talk about the Harlem Globetrotters, because you heard him say, sure, you have to be a good basketball player. And then everything else he said was completely off the court stuff. So I used to always tell people that the second ever episode of this show, episode 2 with Kyle Schmidt, that he was kind of like, this is the poster child of what I envision Catholic Sports Radio is going to be. He scored the overtime winning goal that gave his team the national championship. And Father Mike Schmitz called him up to congratulate him and said, it has to be an absolute highlight for you. And he said, well, it was. And he said, what do you mean? The place was sold out, overtime, screaming fans. And he said, the real highlight for me, Father Mike, is going to be when I receive the Eucharist. And so that's kind of putting in perspective where sports should be on our priority list, on our landscape. And you hear, because another thing that I set out to do with the show is give you ways that you can incorporate your faith life into your sports life, but maybe even your job. And you hear Brett doing all of that. And I want to have you share with us also, Brett, about securing 2 visits to the Vatican for the Globetrotters. And folks, by the way, I'm going to post a picture of Brett shaking hands with Pope Francis on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net. But go ahead, Brett, tell us all about facilitating those 2 trips to the Holy City.
Yeah, so back in 2000, it was the Harlem Globetrotters' 75th anniversary season. And the owner at the time, Manny Jackson, wanted to recognize Pope John Paul II for all that he had done. And we billed it, being a PR guy, we billed it as the world's most traveled team meets the world's most traveled pope, because he'd visited more countries than any other pope. And the Globetrotters, when I left, they had been to 124 countries in their history, and I believe Pope John Paul II was around 128.
Wow.
And so we met. I arranged the visit. We took 5 players. It would have been November of 2000. It was the Jubilee year, and we had an opportunity to meet him. Took some pictures. Spun the ball on his finger, and I was, like at that point in 2000, like, that's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I can't believe I pulled this off. The amount of publicity we got around the world was unbelievable. Of course, all my Catholic friends and my parish priest were all proud and, tell us about it and everything. And I really thought it was once in a lifetime. Well, then lo and behold, 15 years later in 2015, we met Pope Francis at the Vatican, and again, I took 5 players, and we met him, took pictures, spun the ball on his finger, shook his hand, and to do it twice in my lifetime, I feel truly blessed. And I'll never forget Pope Francis when I shook his hand and asked him to pray for me, and he says, no, you pray for me. I just thought he was such a humble man and such a personable person that, I'll never forget that moment.
For sure. Wow. Wow. Oh, great stuff. Great stuff. As I knew it would be. At the very, very beginning of this episode, I did promise you folks something new. So here it is, just launched, and you'll need to have a pen and paper handy for this, or maybe just type it in somewhere if you're sitting at your computer, or I don't know, maybe even speak it into a voice note. So let me give you a minute to get something ready to jot this down. While you're gathering that, I will admit that, ironically, I still have not launched that survey about Catholic Sports Radio that I've talked about a handful of times on this show. When I do, I know I'm going to get a lot of responses back saying, my least favorite part of the show is in the middle when you ask people to evaluate their tithing and consider making a gift to your ministry, Bruce. And trust me, folks, it's not necessarily my favorite part of this, but you know that I'm a one-person operation here doing everything by myself and that I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, which means I have to somehow try to find a way out of my own pocket to otherwise try to tackle all the expenses that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio. While I would still ask you to prayerfully consider doing that, what you now have the option to do instead, are you ready with your pen and paper or somewhere to jot this down? Is effective immediately, you can now just simply buy me a coffee. That's it. Don't overthink it. In fact, here's what you can write down. If you go to buymeacoffee.com/Bruce W, you will see a picture or two of me there sitting behind the microphone, and it's going to give you the option to buy me a cup of coffee or two or more if you're so inclined. I will raise my cup, my mug, to you. I will thank you, and we will have a virtual cup of coffee together, so to speak, if you want to think of it that way. Let me give that out again, because like I said, if you go to CatholicSportsRadio.net right now, you'll still just see the blue Donate to CSR button that I always talk about. This is not on the website or anywhere else yet. So on the internet, you will go to buymeacoffee.com/Bruce W, and that will bring up where you can do exactly that for me. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate your gifts as a way of tithing and helping me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Brett, before that, you were telling us about the visits to the Vatican, but you have not only also been to the White House twice, but on the flip side, have even been to North Korea. Tell us about those experiences, as well as if there was any prayer, any faith moments in any of that, because unfortunately, I think the reaction is, well, sure, at the Vatican, of course, obviously, but no, those others are political environments, and you have to leave your faith behind then.
Yeah, I've been to some amazing places, like we talked about the Vatican, but I've also been to some places that I wouldn't really call them vacation destinations by any means. But the Globetrotters, as we touched on earlier, as the Ambassadors of Goodwill, they would play an annual tour of games in the fall, traditionally between Thanksgiving and Christmas. They'd be gone for about 3 weeks, and they would go to U.S. military bases overseas to visit the men and women of the armed forces, thank them for the sacrifices they made, bring them a little slice of America during a time when they probably missed their families. And so some of the stops on those two are, I've been to Iraq twice, I've been to Afghanistan, and we would visit these bases. We'd sleep in the barracks, we'd eat in the mess halls.
Wow.
But one of my favorite things about the military tour is we would eat with the troops in the mess halls, and a couple of times I would actually end up sitting with the chaplain of the base and asking about the prayer life and pray with the chaplain, you know, before the meal. And you think about the sacrifices that the men and women of the armed forces make. They're away from their families. Their conditions might not be ideal. And for them to share what they're doing in their daily lives with somebody from the United States is kind of an outlet and a release for them. And then, of course, the Globetrotters would entertain with a basketball game. But to me, it was the human interaction and the times in the chow halls, you know, meeting with them and asking where they're from. And, you know, a lot of them were 18 to 22 years old, so very young people. And then you mentioned North Korea. I'm probably the only person on the planet who has met two popes and had dinner with Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea.
Wow.
We went there, the Globetrotters. We took three players, and it was part of an ambassadorial trip, trying to use the sport of basketball to do our part, to try to bring some harmony. And we went with a documentary group out of Brooklyn, New York, called Vice Media, and they did a 30-minute documentary. It's still on YouTube. I believe it's called Basketball, the Hermit Kingdom Basketball Ambassadors or something like that. But we were there for 10 days. Again, toured the country, met some children, tried to provide some uplifting moments and some inspiration. But, you know, it was bizarre at the same time, because we all know the horror stories about North Korea.
Yeah.
And we felt like they were hiding the bad stuff from us, and it was sort of a propaganda tour where they wanted us to feel like they were westernized and they were modern, but that we knew that that wasn't true, and we knew that there was people starving in that country. So I don't know if we did anything positive, but that was our intention, not to talk politics, not to get involved in politics, but to provide some inspiration and some positivity.
Yeah.
The last night we were there, we had dinner with, the gentleman that sat next to me was the head of their Olympic committee, and directly across the table from me was Kim Jong-un.
Wow.
So kind of surreal, but, I don't want to go back.
I'm sure. And folks, for those who are in the Facebook group, this is the first time hearing about it, just like you, so I will do the work and tried to track down that documentary that Brett mentioned on YouTube, and I will put the link sometime the week of this episode release. I will put a link in the Facebook group. Otherwise, if you're not in the group, I guess you'll have to try to track it down on your own. It's one of the perks that I try to provide for some of the exclusive things that I publish in there. Brett, congratulations on your new position as Director of Communications for the Roman Catholic Diocese of Phoenix. And wow, at a time when we think that the Catholic Church has been losing so many people, and isn't that a big part of my ministry, thinking that maybe the mix of faith and sports will be something that gets someone to come back to church. Wow, some amazing numbers, some really encouraging statistics about how fast y'all are growing out west.
Yeah, the Diocese of Phoenix is bucking the trend of other dioceses around the country. We're one of the fastest growing dioceses in the U.S. Last stats I saw, we were number two behind Las Vegas. But we have grown by over 300,000 Catholics in the last 10 years. It's a large, large diocese, 44,000 square miles. We go from Phoenix all the way up to the Grand Canyon up north. There's 94 parishes.
Wow.
And 1.2 million Catholics in our diocese.
Boy, oh boy. And along with that, talk about transitioning to a new bishop out there. Maybe some of the stuff that the audience might not know about that goes on behind the scenes with everything involved with that.
Yes, I started my new position here on March 1st. And I figured I would have, and I knew coming in that Bishop Olmsted had turned 75 years of age in January, and according to the church teachings, canon law, when a bishop turns 75 years of age, they write the Pope and inform them and basically submit their resignation based on the age, and then the Pope discerns, it can be a month, it can be a year, it can be 2 years before he accepts your resignation and announces your successor. So I knew coming in that at some point we would have a new bishop. No one knows when. And so I came in. Communications is communications. Yes, I went from sports and entertainment to the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church has been part of my life since a baby. It was just learning the nuances and some of the vocabulary and the people. And so, you know, I still at times feel like I'm still drinking from a fire hose, learning all the nuances of such a large diocese. But the people here have been incredible, welcoming, helping, advising, you know, to ask a lot of questions. But so anyway, in June, you know, I'd been on March, April, May, and on June hits, we're informed that Pope Francis has named our new bishop. So to me, it was just continuing to drink from a fire hose. So we had a press conference around the first week of June, naming Bishop John Dolan from San Diego as our new bishop. And then he was installed on August 2nd, and it was officially when he took the reins as the new shepherd for the Diocese of Phoenix. And, you know, I was just getting to know Bishop Olmsted, who, by the way, is a huge baseball fan. and then, you know, boom, new bishop. And Bishop Dolan comes from San Diego, lived his whole life, grew up in San Diego. He was the auxiliary bishop for the Diocese of San Diego. And so, you know, he's going from ocean and beaches in California to the desert of Phoenix. And wonderful man. I've thoroughly enjoyed getting to know him. And I can only imagine for me in my role, learning everything for him must be times 100, because everybody wants to meet him. Everyone wants to get to know him. And so my transition continues.
Yeah. And as you said that, I thought of something similar to what you said. You said that he went from, well, in my words, he went from the sunshine of San Diego to the desert of Arizona. And in my head, I thought from the frying pan to into the fire. Brett not only talks the talk, but he walks the walk. As Brett, I know you have extensive involvement outside the church with a faith-based organization that we're all certainly familiar with.
Yes. I am a fourth degree member of the Knights of Columbus. Been a member of the Knights for probably 30 some years. We had a group of young college men when I was in college that signed up, you know, back in the day in college for Knights of Columbus, and I've been a member ever since. Mm. So I love what the Knights do, and I love the charity work they do, and you know, they're always willing to roll up their sleeves and help whatever initiative or whatever need is needed in their parish or in their council or in their diocese.
And folks, I think if I was naming these episodes instead of just putting the number in the guest name, this would be something to do with community service or a servant's heart, as we often hear, because it's kind of been a recurring theme, as you've heard throughout our conversation today, of everything that Brett has been around, whether it's Knights of Columbus that he just talked about or the Globetrotters and all the goodwill that he helped facilitate and that they did. And I absolutely want to close by having you talk, Brett, all about your family and the presence of the Catholic faith and sports in all that.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. Yeah, I've got two adult daughters. My oldest actually played 4 years of college basketball, so she grew up in the sports environment. The younger daughter teaches in a Catholic middle school, teaches math, and I'm blessed with five grandchildren. So there's never a dull moment. They're all five of them are under the age of six. So
wow.
When they come over to my house, they call me Papa. When they come over, it's full of laughter and excitement and lots of energy. So that's what I do in my spare time is spend time with the grandkids.
As it should be. Well, Brett, thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Congratulations again on your new position. Best of luck with all that. And folks, let's lift up special prayers for Brett as he continues to immerse himself in his new role with the Diocese of Phoenix. But Brett, God bless you, and thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you, Bruce. I enjoyed the talk.
And folks, let us close this episode. I referred to it during the ministry moment. I think it's fitting that we close with our sportsman's prayer. So let us pray together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.